Hola a todos! Welcome back to the Following Paralumen podcast series, where we talk about all things under the sun. I'm your host, Danica Tenhutko, competitive coffee drinker, passport stamp collector, and now your new favorite podcast host. Sit back, relax, and let's get this show on the road. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Following Paraluman podcast series. It's Danny, and I'm actually still in the Philippines. As you all know, there's a global pandemic that's been going around, so I don't think we'll be like traveling anytime soon, but I think it's basically fine since it also means that we're not getting in the way of the pandemic or like the crisis, and we're not getting like threatened by it. So yeah, not really complaining. If you're new here, welcome to the Following Paraluman podcast series. This is like a space in where I talk about the topics that I'm really passionate with, like travel and food and lifestyle and faith and anything under the sun, really. So for today, we're going to be talking about why cooking food whilst traveling is as important as immersing yourself in a country's local cuisine. Because I feel like there's this notion that when we travel, we should always just eat out or eat in local stalls. I mean, there's nothing wrong about that, but I think it's also super important to cook food and immerse yourself in like a local hostel's kitchen and whatnot. So for today, I actually have a very special guest, my good friend, Bernardo. We actually volunteered together in Mexico. We met in Mexico. And hola, Bernardo.
Hola, Dani.
¿Cómo está?
Bien, ¿y tú?
Bien, bien. So I think most of our listeners would want to know more about yourself. So can you talk about that?
Okay, yeah. So I'm from Mexico. I'm 26 years old. I currently live in Puebla. That is a little city in Mexico.
Yeah,
I make videos and stop motion and animation, all kinds of stuff, music videos, documentary. And yeah, I like to draw as well. And I'm a person that is currently like traveling, but inside Mexico, like from city to city. Well, before the coronavirus, like I used to go to hostels or just like go to little towns or stuff like that.
Yeah, so we actually met when we were volunteering at a hostel in Mexico called Gael, which is super sad because did you know that they closed?
Yeah, they closed and they were selling all their stuff.
I know.
I was like, fuck, no.
I know, like, because I'm friends with Gab, the owner, on Facebook, and I'm also in this group called Mexico, like expats, I think, like tourists and expats in Mexico. And he was like selling like the cuchons and the pans and everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, like we were cooking in those pans.
Yeah. And the beds and everything.
The beds, exactly. It was just, I don't know, it was just super sad because like we've spent a good part of our time in Mexico in that hostel. Because, like, I think before I came, you were already there. Like, you volunteered already.
Yeah. I think I arrived, and then you were on a trip, and that you were already there, but you went on a trip, and then you came back.
Yes, because after Mexico, I was staying in Mexico for, like, 2 months. I mean, in Mexico City in 2 months. And then I actually went to Puebla for, like, a week. But I didn't know you then. And then I went to Oaxaca de Juarez for a month and I volunteered at a hostel and I got kicked out of the hostel that I was volunteering at. Did you know that?
I think so, but I don't remember why. It was because of a friend, right?
Yeah, so I got kicked out of a hostel that I was volunteering in Oaxaca de Juarez because there were three people that I was friends with and I was currently on shift. And they were just like smoking in the common room and being loud. And the owner was like, yeah, yo, this is your fault. It's your hour on the job. So you should be the one to like keep them like calm. I was like, it's not my fault. Like I can't, these are like three grown people. Like, what do you want me to do? Like ask them to like leave? But like, whatever. And so after I went to San Jose del Pacifico and Mazunte, Zicatela, and then Puerto Escondido, and then back to Mexico City.
Yeah, well, I remember Mazunte, yeah.
Wait, so you're from Puebla. How near are you from the actual Zócalo?
Like 15 minutes. It's not that far away.
Okay, that's not bad. Wait, are you near Cholula?
I'm in between. Like, it's like my house is in the middle of downtown and Cholula. Like, if you go from downtown to Cholula, you'll be in my house. Like, you know.
Because yeah. I know Cholula, first of all, because of the hot sauce.
Cholula, yeah.
Yeah, the hot sauce. Yes. Yeah. I went to Puebla, they were like, oh, all the cool bars are in Cholula.
They are. They were.
And so we went from downtown Puebla to Cholula just to party. It was very fun. And there's like this like taco food truck. I don't know. It was like really good.
It's beautiful as well. Like it's little. It has a lot of people from everywhere. You can meet like hippies, hipsters. I don't know. Yeah, like the spoiled brats. I mean, like I'm kind of a spoiled brat, but they are worse.
Next level.
No, like for honestly, like if you lived in here, you would understand me. But yeah, you can meet any kind of people there. It's cool. I miss everyone, honestly.
So you said that you've been traveling around Mexico. So where have you been on that journey? Like around which cities in Mexico?
So do you mean like traveling for a day or for weeks or to live temporarily?
It can be like a mix of both.
Mix of both. So I've been to San Luis Potosí, which has jungle and it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I think not a lot of people know there. It's very, very...
Yeah.
Like it's the best place in like in Mexico to go for waterfalls and jungle and to be there. The beaches of Oaxaca, like Mazunte, Puerto Escondido. I lived there a lot of time also. It was amazing.
It's
one of the best cities or towns. And also Yucatan, there's a little town in the jungle called Sotuta. Mm-hmm. So I also stayed there in a community. And that's the longest time I've been in, well, Mexico City, like 3 years.
That's
so yeah, Yucatan has been like 2 years as well. Well, 1 year, no, 1 year.
Okay, super cool. I mean,
yeah,
I would definitely want to go back to Mexico, like, because I've only ever been to DF and then to Oaxaca, but like nowhere else. Like I've not been like the Yucatan. I really want to go to like Guadalajara and Guanajuato. Have you been there?
Guadalajara is beautiful.
I want to go.
Yeah, also Guanajuato.
But okay, so I think we're getting sidetracked. We have to talk about food. I wanted to ask you, so when did you discover your love for food and your passion for cooking? Because I know that you love to cook. Like we were always in the kitchen, like talking when we were in Mexico.
Yeah. And I like that you enjoy it. And like you also put a lot of effort in cooking as well.
I love cooking.
Like you know a lot of recipes. And always cook for everyone. So
I love language.
I discovered it 2 years ago when I went to live to the jungle, because that was the only place that I couldn't have the option to go outside to eat something or to go to the supermarket because it was in the jungle, you know?
Yeah.
And everything was brought to us by like other people, but it was like only vegetables, only like sour or like raw food that you had to make from scratch. Like if you had to, if you wanted anything, you had to make it from scratch. So I learned, and I learned to love making food because of the cravings that I had, like the sugar that I needed, or I thought I needed,
yeah,
made me start making brownies. And then I started noticing how people reacted when you make something, and especially when you make something that they like, or they remember some part of their life or their country. For example, the first time that happened to me, it was I made a brownie that was made with beans. So because there were a lot of beans, and the girl was like, oh, there's a recipe that you can make brownies with beans, and I searched for the recipe, and I made it. And there was a couple from Poland. I think in Poland they love chocolate.
Really?
And I put, yeah. I don't know.
I didn't know. I don't know anything about Poland.
So they were like, I just could, when I shared the brownies, like I shared some brownies with everyone, and they were just so grateful, and like they told me like that, thank you for reminding them of their country, or like being home. And that was like super like life changing or something. And so also because it was mandatory for me to cook, so I had to learn to love as well cooking,
right?
But yeah that was why.
And I think it's right, like most of the cooking that we've learned comes from like necessity, because when I was growing up, I didn't really know how to cook. Like even when I was in college, like most of my college friends now, like whenever I post a recipe, they'd be like, oh my gosh, are you cooking? And I'm like, yeah. Cause like when I was growing up, I didn't really need to cook, cause like my parents were always cooking. My abuela would always like be cooking. But then when I moved to New York, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so expensive. Like eating out is so expensive. And like, how can I eat like nutritious food that was still like cheap, you know? So like I would go to like the grocery and like I would try to cook my own food, and like because I didn't know a lot of like recipes. And one of my friend's mom is actually like a cook, like she does catering, and so sometimes I would be like, oh my gosh, I miss this food. And so I would call my friend, and I would be like, can you ask your mom how to make this? And so we would be like, I would be cooking and he would be like video chatting. And I also think that, because like for you, you said that you needed your sugar. And I think that most of the food that I learned how to cook are like, I think I learned it because I wanted to eat it and I couldn't find like a proper restaurant to eat it at. Like, I think I actually learned how to make dumplings because I couldn't find like a good Chinese place in like Morocco.
Exactly.
So I'm like, how am I going to eat it? Like, I'm craving for it, but there's no good Chinese restaurant. And so I learned how to make it myself. Well, that's always so fun. And it's always like good to learn like different food from all over the world, you know? So for you growing up in Mexico, what has been your favorite like food related memory? And what was the dish that you always loved making?
Okay, food related memory. I actually wrote a list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go for it.
But like,
I love it.
Like, I don't know how do you say albóndiga. Do you know these meatballs that are like, meatballs. Meatballs.
Meatballs.
And you know mole?
Ah, qué rico. Me encanta mole.
No, but there's a sweet one. Like there is mole that is made from pistache or almonds or nuts, and it's sweet.
Oh, okay.
There's like a big event in Xochimilco in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. So I hope you come and you get to to go to that place because it's actually really good.
I really and don't
know. That was one of the best experiences. Also, my mom used like all the food my mom made. Like, it's my family didn't cook as Mexican as I don't know, maybe other families. It's like spaghetti with spaghetti alla bolognese. How do you call that? Bolognese.
Yeah, bolognese.
Or broccoli cream or French toast.
So good.
Like even simple things like chicken with lemon and sauce, like Valentina.
Mm.
Or I used to eat like also like, well, oh, tacos, like tacos al pastor. Tacos al pastor is actually was my favorite dish.
But you have like a different taco in Puebla, no? Like taco.
Ah, taco árabe.
Yeah.
Like Arab taco,
yeah.
Which is with a sour tortilla.
Yeah, it was like a bit bigger.
Yeah, bigger, and the meat is from beef or lamb, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's different because normally it's from pork, yeah. And it's with a maize tortilla.
Yeah,
and the Arab ones are like with sour cream, lemon, and
you know what I noticed, like, because when I went to Puebla, everything was so big, like the semita, the taco arabes, they were like super big. Like I remember one time I ordered a semita and it was just by myself. I'm like, oh, I'll have like one with like pollo milanesa, and I had it on the table and it was this big, and it has like so many like layers, like chile, aguacate,
Hoja santa.
Sí.
Yeah, like the green tasty thing. Yeah.
It was super good though, but like everything was like massive.
Yeah.
And I had this dish with like chile con pomegranate.
Yeah. Chile nogada.
Wait, ¿qué?
Chile nogada.
Chile nogada. It was super good.
Amazing. That's one of the best dishes.
It was super good. Oh my gosh. Now I'm like, I miss Mexican food. I miss Mexico.
That's only a September food also. So it's even better because you wait for it all year long.
Exactly. And I think that was super cool because now you said that it's like only September only. And I know that there are like different pastries in Mexico that are only like seasonal. Like I initially came during Dia de los Muertos and you had like pan de muertos. And then you had like, what is that bread for like for like three kings?
Rosca de Reyes.
Yes. So I was like, this is super cool. Like you only like literally wait for it like once a year. And like you get super excited and it was just super cool.
Yeah. I don't know if in the Philippines you have also like that kind of like maybe breads or desserts that like are like seasonal.
I think we do have it, but it's not as much because like during Christmas, like Christmas season, we have this thing called bibinca. It is kind of like bread-ish. It's not really a pastry, but it's like made out of rice flour, and you have like red eggs on top and quesos, and you eat it with like coconut meat. It was super good. And we have this thing called like puto bumbong, and it's like purple, and it's like made with another rice flour because, you know, we love our rice. And you put like margarine on it and like more like coconut, and like we only have it during Christmas, and it's like super exciting to always like wait for it. And it's just, I mean, there are like places in the city that you can get it like all year long, but it's like kind of expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's super delicious.
Maybe it's not worth it to eat it like out of time sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's good to wait for it.
Tradition, you know, I mean, we're not very traditional, but like I think both of us are like not the most
traditional people. I know.
Like, sometimes you just gotta respect it.
There are things.
Exactly. What do you always cook when you're traveling? Like, is there a particular food, and where do you usually buy ingredients for this? Do you like buy local mercados in Superama, in Oxxo? Oh my gosh, I love Oxxo.
Yeah, it's super easy to find an Oxxo in Mexico.
Wait, so to all the listeners who have not yet been to Mexico, can you tell us what an Oxxo is?
So the Oxxos are like 7-Elevens.
But better.
Right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're like in every corner.
Uh-huh.
In every corner you can find one. Or
I love Oxxo. And like, this is so funny because like, when it was winter, like last January, I think, we were looking for like chocolate caliente, and there was one in Oxxo, and it was so good. Like, we had it
really?
Every single night. Yeah.
I haven't tried that.
It's so good. Like, me and Shauna and Kristen and Tommy, like, we were just like at Oxxo every single night.
We got chocolate.
It was so good.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Oxxo is super handy.
I tend to like just not buy that stuff. Like, I never try it. I don't know why. I'm gonna try it.
Can try it tonight. Yeah. Or tomorrow.
I have one Oxxo like over here.
But yeah, like, what was the food that you always like?
I really enjoy making desserts, especially as I said, brownie. And right. Also apple pie, I love apple pie and I love making it. It's, I spend a lot of time making it, but it's like salad food or salty foods. Like, I get inspiration from Indian food or Middle Eastern food, like tahini, hummus. Mm-hmm. I think those two things are the best thing.
Yeah, that is super good.
Wait. So tahini, hummus, and as I'm vegetarian, I enjoy making anything that I can make with like vegetables and legumes combined, or like experimenting like vegetables in the oven.
Yeah.
Or like hipster recipes from the internet. And I don't know why I never got like really the traditional Mexican food. I need to practice more my sauces.
But like, you were always like making like something like a sauce. Like, you were always like roasting tomatoes and roasting chilies. And it was like super cool to like watch you do that. Super nice.
I mean, maybe I'm good at it, but I see my parents and I'm like, no, I'm not really good at it. I'm just learning. I'm like a baby. I know how to make sauce, but I can do better. I think I need to practice more.
Mm-hmm.
But desserts or sweet things are the best, the easiest thing for me to do.
Yeah.
Granola or like... Yeah, I don't know where I got this from.
You know, the funny thing, because like when I was watching you like cook Mexican food, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I think that's why it's important to like cook food in like a hostel kitchen, because you get to see different people from different countries like cook their own food, and like you learn them. Like, I don't know if you met that one volunteer that we had from Italy, Federica.
No.
Okay, so like, she was always cooking like pasta, and I was like, oh my gosh, we're in Mexico, but I'm learning how to make Italian pasta.
Exactly.
And like, sometimes I would cook Filipino food and people would be like, what is this? I'm like, oh, it's like Filipino adobo. I'm like, it's so interesting to like meet different people and see them cook different food that they've grown up eating in their own countries, you know? And I just really think that no matter where you go, it's always like a good idea to like just hang out in the kitchen. I mean, it doesn't have to be every day, because like, obviously, like when you're in Mexico, you would want to eat like some local tacos or like quesadillas, you know? But like, it's very, it's just like nice to like hang out with people. And I think like we've had so many like fun memories, and like, especially in Gael, because like we would be, I don't know, like we would be baking a lot of cookies. Do you remember?
Yeah. You spent a lot of time making cookies. I learned a lot from you, like for example the sushis, but also I never learned the cookies from you, and that's a regret, because I think you did, like I think you know a lot of things from desserts as well.
That is so funny that you learned sushi from me, because I've never been to Japan. I learned how to make sushi from a Japanese that I met like at a hostel.
Really?
Yes.
Because
I was I think it was in, I don't know where it was, but it was definitely not in Asia. I was like, oh my gosh, I miss sushi. And then there's this Japanese girl who was traveling as well. And she was like, do you want to make some? I'm like, yeah. So that's how I learned sushi. That was pretty funny. So for like all these that you make, do you just buy them like in local mercados?
I forgot that part, yeah. Well, it depends. When I actually live in a city and I can go buy something, I go to the supermarket. Like, it doesn't matter, the nearest supermarket or the vegetable market. Because there are, like, right now, for example, in Puebla, I go to a local organic supermarket.
Yeah. So
which good. Is actually, it's actually cheaper than the supermarket.
Really?
It's cheaper than the supermarket.
I remember there was one in Mexico City in La Condesa every Tuesday and Friday. I think we would remember. Yeah, Is it similar to that?
No, because that one wasn't organic. This one is like every single one is agroecologic or organic. Yeah, that is cool. And it's like something that is growing here in Puebla. I don't know if in other cities as well.
Mm-hmm. That is so fun. How do you say it in Mexico? Qué chido.
Qué chido. Sorry?
Qué chido is like how cool.
Yeah, qué chido.
Qué chido.
Yeah, very, very cool. I think the supermarkets here are not, well, for me, I don't trust supermarkets anymore, because we have a relationship with the United States and Monsanto, and it's like everything is full of pesticides. So, for example, my parents are not really aware of it, but I don't buy anything from the supermarket anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's a struggle to find a trusted place here in Mexico, because everything is, I don't know, it's from USA, and the vegetables from USA are full with pesticides. And I don't know if it's like something I should worry about. I still cannot figure it out. I don't know if you have the same struggle over there or not at all.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like here in the Philippines, it's so hard to find like fresh produce. It's so hard to like lead a more organic lifestyle, especially me, because I live in like a small town, and like most of the vegetables that I get are like from the local market. And mostly these are grown somewhere else. So like, you don't really know where you're getting your vegetables, or like, I mean, I don't really buy meat anymore. So that's good. But like all these vegetables growing from different places, like I know they're still from the Philippines, but like, are they from bigger like gardening corporations, or like, are they like locally produced by like some farmers? So you never really know like where your food is coming from.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so, same here.
Struggle. Mm-hmm. And like, because I love garbanzos and like lentejas, but here you can't find them. Like the garbanzos have come in a can. Yeah, so like that's
not
how
real.
We eat them. But like, remember when you actually gave me like a bunch of like lentejas and garbanzos, and they're like hard. So like you have to like soak them overnight, and then you have to like boil them, which is like super cool to do. But like the ones that I have here are literally in a can, like full of like preservatives. So I don't know if I like that.
Yeah.
Super sad.
I mean, I don't know. Have you tried finding like online?
I've tried, but they're like normally more expensive.
Yeah, maybe.
Like ship them, but I don't know. It could be like a good thing to do in the future, I think. Okay, so why do you think that it's also important to also cook your own food and not eat out like every single day?
I think you described it properly. Like the way that you, like when you cook, you share with people, and it can be knowledge, it can be, I don't know, traditions, it can be anything. So when you cook by yourself in a hostel, well, for example, in my experience, I have met more people, and I have learned like recipes from other places. Also, the thing you said that when you were in New York, that it was super expensive. It's expensive to eat outside, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
And especially right now, not only expensive, but also kind of risky. I don't know. It can depend, right? If you don't want to go out a lot, you can just travel. But I don't know. Keep yourself safe and cook inside. And especially, I'm wishing for like more places to gather, and like the way we used to go into hostels before.
Yeah, I
hope that like right now we find like COVID as an excuse to like create more spaces, like kind of communities where you can find like kitchens where you can cook, and like places where you can live with other people, maybe without like reinventing the way we traveled before.
That's
like true. Maybe not having to go out partying to a bar, but maybe just creating the place itself, like to party and to live and to cook and everything, like in places remotely. Like, I don't know. I think there are already a lot of places like that.
And I think it's totally right, because like not many people realize, but like when you keep on eating out, all that bill accumulates, you know, especially like travelers like us. We're on the road for like months and like sometimes even years. You don't necessarily always have to like keep on eating out, because like it adds up, like the bill adds up to like your travel fund. And it's so much cheaper and so much easier to like cook at home, you know? It's, I don't know, it just makes sense to like cook your home meals.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, in all the kitchens that you've cooked with, which has been your absolute favorite, and why is that?
Gael's. No, I'm kidding. It was super small. It was like, oh, excuse me.
Kitchen, like we would always have like somebody would use the microwave, and somebody would be like stirring the pot, and like people would be using the oven. I'm like, and somebody would wash the dishes, and it's like a really tight space, and we would always be
it
like,
was like 2 meters to me.
And it was like super dark.
Yeah.
Oh, Gab could be listening to this. Hola, Gab.
Yeah, maybe. He could be writing like some tips. No, I'm kidding. But honestly, I cannot remember a place like outside where I found it better than my parents' house. because my parents have like even dishes that they don't know how they are used. Like they usually have a lot of stuff. Maybe because my sister brings some things, or my brother, or like my uncles leave some other thing. I don't know. Like, they have a lot of stuff all over the years. But do you mean outdoors? You mean while traveling, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think Sututa, like where I lived in the jungle, because they had also like everything I could need. Like, they had a lot of stuff, like a cool oven and like a cool table where you can, like a large table where you could cook. That is really necessary. And good forks. Yeah, I think the hostels and the places need to upgrade their kitchens.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. I think for me, I mean, we had a lot of nice memories at Gael, but like the kitchen was super tight. I think for me, like one of the best kitchens that I've ever cooked in was because I was volunteering at this hostel in Morocco, and we were only cooking like vegan food, and it was so nice. It was like overlooking the mountain. It was like in a terraza, like the kitchen was on the terraza.
Wow.
Like cooking, and there were like mountains like on the background. It was like, I gotta send you a picture later. It was super
cool. Awesome.
It was great. But like my hostel in Oaxaca, they had a really nice kitchen. They had everything, like a blender, a really nice stove, and it was just great. But the thing was, nobody wanted to eat the food that I cooked. I don't know, like my co-volunteers would be like, I would ask them, hey, I made something, like do you want some? They're like, oh no, I'm not hungry. That was like always their reply. So I don't really enjoy cooking if I don't eat it with like other people. Like if I just do it for me, like,
yeah, that's not sharing.
I like to like feed people. I think that's one of my love languages. Cause like, remember when I would always cook in huge batches. I'd be like, I have pasta, or like, I have like apple pie, I have rice. And it's just like so nice. I love cooking, and I love learning from like different people like you. And like Tommy would always cook like vegetarian food and like different like recipes, like cuisines from all over the world. It's just like, it's just so nice and life-changing. And like when you taste a certain like dish from a particular country, you'd be like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Like, I want to go to that place now. Cause like travel means like also immersing yourself in like another culture, not just like the culture in the country that you're currently in, but like from also the culture of like the different people that you meet along the road. And not many people realize that, which is like, but it's like a really important part. So
yeah, you can travel while being in the same place. Exactly. Just by cooking and by learning recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Or like cooking is like a love language also, and like I don't know, you meet a lot of places through food as well. I don't know.
Exactly, that's super true.
And you share like memories, traditions.
Yes, because like I think when you taste a particular spice, or like, I don't know, like taste in your palate, you're instantly like transported into like one of those moments. It's kind of like smell. Like when you smell something, you're like, oh my gosh, it smells like when I was in school. I don't know, it just makes sense. But like when you taste something like that, it's relatively similar. Like when you taste like curry, you're gonna be like, oh my gosh, this is like that one time I was in India. Or like when you taste like a really spicy like salsa, you'd be like, oh my gosh, is this just like when I was in Mexico? So I just think that taste is super important, and it should just be like shared with other people.
Yeah.
So yeah, Bernardo, thank you so much for joining me today. Gracias a todos.
No, yeah, also thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you've reached this point and if you're here.
Yes, thank you so much. I mean, I feel like most of the listeners who listen to this podcast also love food. So thank you so much, Bernardo, for sharing your thoughts on food and Mexican cuisine and cooking on the road. So thank you so much for that. If our listeners would want to see more of you and know more about your work, where can we find you? Like, do you have social media or a website?
Yeah, I have an Instagram account. It's bernardo.rdl. And that's basically the same username I use in every, like, TikTok and YouTube.
Perfect. I mean, I'm going to list down Bernardo's username on the description box. And if you guys want to follow me, my social media username is @DMTenJutko, and you can find me on my blog at danikatenjutko.com. So thank you so much, Bernardo, for coming along and talking about food with us. It's been such a blast, and I miss cooking with you. It's just great. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Dani.
I can't wait to see you soon.
Same.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.